Three. Real good now to see you this Friday evening. Thank you sincerely for coming. Some folk have come every night. Some are here tonight for the first time. We certainly welcome you in the Lord's name. And remember the meetings as we continue. Lord's Day through Friday next week in the will of God, 7:30 to 8:30. We'll try and preach to the point. Trust the Lord will bless his word. Then we have been asked to say there will be a meal here on the Lord's Day for all. It's commencing 6:30 downstairs. Please keep that in mind, and you'll be welcome to come. Now I'm going to read some verses tonight from the little book of Jonah. If you can't find it, you see, after the major prophets, Ezekiel, there's Daniel. And then the fifth book after that is Obadiah, Jonah. I'm going to talk about Jonah tonight. I'm going to read a verse or two as we move on. God says to in verse 2 of Jonah chapter 1, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city. Verse 3, Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord and went down to Joppa. Look at the next statement. They found a ship going to Tarshish, not Spain, so he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go into them, to go unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Look at verse 5 at the end. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, what meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise and call upon thy God. Down the chapter, verse 11. Then said they unto him, what shall we do unto you, unto thee, that the sea might be calm unto us? For the sea was wrought and was tempestuous. He said unto them, take me up and cast me forth into the sea. Verse 13, the end of the verse, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. Verse 15, so they took up Jonah, cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Look at the last verse of this chapter. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Verse 2, chapter 2, verse 6. Here's what he says. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bar was about me forever. Look at the last verse almost, verse 9. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgivings. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. What happened next? The Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. Chapter 3. He's asked now to go to Nineveh. Verse 4, Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast. I'm going to read the comment in the New Testament. Matthew's Gospel, please, chapter 12. Matthew's Gospel, 12. Here's what the Spirit of God says about this man. Verse 40, Matthew 12:40. For as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly. So shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonas, and behold, a greater than Jonas is here. And that's the reading for tonight. And it's been on my heart to tell this audience tonight how a soul can be saved. We have tried throughout the nights that have passed, but I want to focus tonight, this Friday night, before we go, on how a soul can be saved. I would like to ask you before we start, if you're interested in salvation, do you believe that the Lord Jesus Christ can save you? You've got to be honest. People have given me different answers to that over the years. Now I want to illustrate to you tonight how a soul can be saved through this story of Jonah. Do you believe it tonight? This is one of the stories of the Bible that the skeptics want to disprove. They won't accept it. They don't believe it. You know how we know that this story is true? The Lord Jesus Christ that cannot lie, he talked about him. I read it to you. As Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the stomach of the great fish, so the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of Man, will be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Now there's scripture to show that the story is true. And I want to just show you in a very simple way tonight how a soul can be saved through this story. I want you to think of Jonah and the ship, number one. Then I want you to think of Jonah and the sea. And then I want you to think of Jonah and the fish's stomach. And then I want you to think of Jonah on the streets of Nineveh. And finally, Jonah in the scriptures. And I'll just say that in a few minutes before the time goes. Now let me ask you again. You any interest in being saved tonight? Well, friend, the onus is on you. You have got to make the choice. We can't do it for you. But there is the possibility that somebody here tonight, older or younger, you have this before your mind and you've never told a living mortal, I would like to be saved, but I don't know how to be saved. Well, here's Jonah. The Lord says to him, now, Jonah, you go east. But Jonah said to himself, no, I'm going west. That's the bottom line. He went down to Joppa, he paid the fare on that ship, and he assumed to go to the land of Spain, but he never made it. Now we can illustrate the first point from this very thing. He's now in this ship, and three times over it says he went down. His direction of travel was down. What the hymn writer said, thou hast wandered, sadly wandered, down the broad and crowded way, near to hell and far from heaven, but he bids thee turn today. Do you understand your need tonight from this man? And he's lying there in the ship fast asleep. See, he disobeyed God. Romans 5 tells us that by the disobedience of one, many were made sinners. We're children of disobedience, even as others. That's exactly what happened in the Garden of Eden. God told Adam and Eve, now there's that tree, don't you touch it. The day you touch it and eat the fruit, you'll die. But they disobeyed God. You see, friend, that tells us exactly that we are sons and daughters of a disobedient man, and we are disobedient ourselves. Can you see old Jonah there? He's lying there, absolutely out of it. Didn't know what was going on. They're in the Mediterranean Sea, and there's a mighty storm has come, and he's fast asleep. What happened next? Well, God took the captain, the master of the vessel, and went right down beside him. I don't know where he shook him or what he did. He said to him, "What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise and call upon thy God." You see, friend, if ever you're going to be saved and be in God's fair heaven, you need to be awakened. "Awake thou that sleepest, arise from the dead, and God, Christ, will give you light." That's Ephesians chapter 5. See, people ask me, "Well, why are folk not saved?" Because they're absolutely asleep. "Voices from the homeland shore fainter grow as they implore. You are drifting, drifting, drifting down from a father's loving care to the blackness of despair. You are drifting, drifting down." This Friday night, friend, if you could understand your spiritual need before God, it wouldn't take very much preaching to see you won for heaven. You know what happened to that man next? Whenever all the discussion and everything was over, I can see the mariners. I don't know whether he was a heavy man or not, but they got a hold of him. And they heaved him over the side of the ship. And into the sea he arrived. You see, he was down in the ship, but he's going down further now. He's gone into the sea. It just tells you and I that we're on the voyage of life. You're getting further and further and further away from God. We would ask you to stop tonight. Now watch. He wasn't too long in the sea till there was a mighty big fish that swallowed him up. And he's now in the stomach of the great fish. By the way, people don't accept this story. They think it's impossible. I have read recently of more than one instance where an individual was swallowed completely by a big whale or some from that family. Now, just imagine you're Jonah, sleeping fast asleep on a ship, finishing up in the Mediterranean Sea, and now incarcerated in prison in the stomach of a great fish. The whole place totally in darkness. And as that mammal swam to the bottom of the ocean, there he is. Look at some of the verses I read to you. Here's Jonah. He says, "I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever." And I want to stop tonight and ask you a simple question. Can you see him there in the stomach of the great fish? Do you think that ever he could get out of that situation? No matter how intelligent he was or how well he could swim or whatever, do you honestly think he could get out of that fish and get out of that position he was in? Never. You see, friend, we need to learn from this story that we're absolutely helpless to save ourselves. People think, well, if I was more anxious, or if I went off my food, or I couldn't sleep at night, I would be saved. Well, friend, none of those things are necessary. But you need to learn tonight that you're drifting downward to eternity, and there's nothing you can do about it yourself. You can't save yourself. Please don't try. Now watch. Imagine 3 days and 3 nights in total darkness, till one day, one opportunity came his way, and he says, he verbalized, salvation is of the Lord. Do you know what he's saying? If I'm going to get out of this awful place that I'm in, it's the Lord that's got to do it. Dear soul, if ever you're going to have your sins forgiven and know Christ as your personal and eternal Savior and have a happy life to live for the God of heaven, you can do nothing about it yourself, or nobody else can. Only the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Now let me pause. Whenever the Lord saw the man was absolutely sincere and repented of his sin and all the rest of it, he arrived on dry land. Somebody asks, why was he 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly? Because the great fish was 3 days and 3 nights from the shore. Took him all that time to come to the very shore, and God allowed that mammal to vomit up Jonah on dry land. I would like to put the gospel to you this way tonight in a very simple way. You see, the Lord told the people, that man Jonah is a type of my service. I'll be 3 days and 3 nights in the tomb, in the garden tomb outside Jerusalem. I'd like to stop tonight and ask yourself a simple question. Why was the Lord resurrected? Well, it's obvious, because he died. And why did he die? Because he finished the work what the Father gave him to do. That's the gospel. How that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried and he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Would you like three T's on that? Number one, he occupied the tree. That's the Lord Jesus. Number two, he was in the garden tomb. Number three, after resurrection and ascension, he's on the throne on high. That's the message that we proclaim. When here's a man hundreds of years before the Lord was even on earth, and the very experience that he went through told out the message of the gospel of the grace of God. Now let me go to the next place. You see, people ask all the time, now, if I got saved tonight, how would I know it? Now let me illustrate for you from this story of Jonah. Whenever he hit the dry land and he's going to the great city of Nineveh in Assyria, the very point he was looking, people looked at him And they could see there's evidence that this man has been somewhere where we have never been. And the experts tell us that on his body, the juices of that great mammal, it could be seen in the skin and of his countenance and his face. And he stepped into the great city of Nineveh. And he went from street to street and corner to corner, and he said to those people, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Now I want to tell you something. Those people knew that he meant business. You see, friend, if you get saved and understand tonight in a very simple way that when the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross, he bore the penalty of my sin. He was absolutely sinless, but he paid the price for me. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord had laid on him the iniquity of us all. Who his own self bare our sins and his own body on the tree. Now I've come to tell you tonight, whatever stage in life you're at, every person that's saved by the grace of God, they know it. See, that's, here's one way in the passage that people knew. Here's a man, and he has been through the circumstance illustrating salvation, and he had an interest in others. 3 days and three nights, there he is in the whale's belly. Now he's going from street to street in the great city, and proclaiming to those people, yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Three simple points in his message. I want to just leave them with you. See, 40 days, that tells us there's a time element. Now, dear people, you and I can't get saved when we like. These people got 40 days to change their mind about God and about self and about sin. You haven't 40 days. You haven't 40 minutes. Listen to the Bible. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Acquaint now thyself with God and be at peace. Do you understand? It's right now. Somebody says, I would like to leave it for a little while. Well, dear people, you mightn't get the chance. Look at what happened in New Zealand there in the last few hours. A man going into a mosque, and in seconds, 49 people were in eternity. Dear people, tonight, life at best is very brief. Like the falling of a leaf, like the binding of a sheaf, will you be in time? If I was sitting tonight in this audience without the Lord Jesus Christ, I wouldn't leave another day until I knew of a certainty that when the last day comes for me, I will be saved and be in heaven when life on earth is past. That's what the Bible teaches. Prepare to meet thy God. That's what the hymn writer said. It's time to be prepared, prepared, prepared. It's time to be prepared for that great day. Now please notice, his message was to the place Nineveh. It wasn't for the world. It was specifically for those folk. Is specific tonight for you, right here in this meeting. God is interested in you. And he has sent his Son into the world, not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And he's interested, friend, to save you. Will you come? You know the next bit there? Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. That's the judgment of God. Now please notice that God's strange work is judgment. He's a God of love. He's a God of grace. He's a God of kindness. He's interested in you. But you haven't long to have this matter settled. I'll tell you another thing. The Lord said to these people that he was talking to in Matthew chapter 12. He says, now listen, men. Those men in Nineveh that heard Jonah preach the gospel of the grace of God in their day, they repented. They turned. But they will rise in the day of judgment and condemn you. They repented at the preaching of Jonas and they knew nothing. But you know the whole story. And you'll go down at last to eternal fire. Friend, you know something? There are people that I have met in the last few months in other parts of the world and they never heard the gospel once. Never handled a Bible like you. And they know they never heard the message once, but you have heard it again and again and again. What an awful eternity, friend, it'll be if you die without Christ and go down at last to the lake of fire to burn forever. There's a place in heaven for you tonight, friend. Will you come? And if you don't, it will be filled anyways. But there's a place for you. Will you come tonight? Jonah in the ship. Jonah in the sea. Jonah in the stomach of the whale. And Jonah on the streets of Nineveh. Telling everybody he's a safe man. He's remembered in the Holy Scriptures of truth. God help you, friend, tonight, as the meeting continues, that you'll grasp the truth. Here it is. I am a guilty sinner, but Jesus died for me. The onus is on you. Will you take him right now and start for heaven and be there forever? Thank you very much.
Hebrews, please, chapter 11. Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 6. Stan started the meeting by asking you a question. Do you believe that you could be saved tonight? And when he said that, I thought, oh, he's going to take my message. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now the Gospel of Mark, please. And we're going to read about a woman who came. Mark chapter 5. Verse number 25. Mark 5:25, and a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, notice that phrase, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment, for she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, thou seest a multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And he looked around about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, notice that, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. And the Lord will bless to us the reading of his word and what we've listened to already. I was reading this again today, and I noticed this for the first time, when she heard of Jesus. When she heard. You know, sometimes you read your Bible and you read the same thing over and over and over again, and all of a sudden something different sticks out to you that you never noticed before. Here's this woman, when she heard of Jesus. You see, to understand this situation, to take it in the context, this woman with an issue of blood isn't just an ordinary disease. There's a real thing called an issue of blood, and you can read about it in Leviticus chapter 15. It was when a person would bleed from the inside out. It was a real thing. It was an unclean thing. It was a defiling disease. And so that's what this woman has. And to understand that in its context, because she was unclean, she couldn't go to the synagogue and worship. She couldn't take part of the activities of the synagogue. She was an outcast. She was separated from God, and she was separated from men. That's this woman. Whatever she would touch would be unclean. And if someone else would go and touch what she touched, they would be unclean until the evening, and so on. And so people would shun this woman. They would not want anything to do with her. They would make a wide path around her. So this is the disease that this woman had. This is her condition. And you know, when we look at these conditions, especially those that are internal, that work their way out, and sometimes conditions that are in the Bible that men have from their birth, and things that speak to us of sin, this is what this speaks to us of. This woman is a picture to us of sin, her issue of blood. So there she is. That's her condition. Sin is a condition that affects us physically, doesn't it? This woman has been dying now for 12 years. For 12 years, she's been getting weaker and weaker and growing worse. She's tried many things of many physicians, but she only grew worse. So she's been dying for 12 years. What a picture of sin, isn't it? It is the wages of sin that is death. Physical death and spiritual death, separation from God. So this woman here, she's been dying now for 12 years. Actually, if you want to be technical, she's been dying since the day she was born. But now this is bubbling out of her. Her condition is physical. Sin is an emotional condition. Can you imagine what it would be like to be shunned and be separated and to be an outcast from your family and from your friends, by no reason of your own? You had this issue, and now you're separated from them. It would be a very sad situation, wouldn't it? And that's what sin does. Sin separates. Sin separates us from God. Sin separates us from those that we love oftentimes. And here's this woman now. Sin. It's spiritual. She couldn't worship God. Maybe she had longed for 12 years just to get to the temple, just to get to the synagogue and give a sacrifice. Maybe she had just wanted to do something for God, to please God, because she appreciated her Creator and she knew a little something about God, but she couldn't do it. Why? Because of her sin. Because of her sin. That's the condition this woman is in. Notice it says here this. She had the issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things. There's a cup of suffering. A cup of suffering with sin. She'd suffered many things at many physicians. You know what that spoke to me of today? Sinners can't save sinners. Sinners can't heal sinners. She suffered many things of many physicians. I don't know how they would have tried to fix her issue of blood in those days. And it says she suffered. A cup of suffering. This dear woman had spent all of her living. She was in complete poverty. She had nothing left. She had spent everything. She had suffered many things. I thought of the cup of suffering in Calvary. I thought of the condition of the Lord Jesus Christ apart from sin. Holy, harmless, and undefiled, and separate from sinners. That's His condition. God manifest in the flesh. There He is, no sin in Him. And then there's the cup of suffering. And you'll go to the Garden of Gethsemane and you'll consider the Lord Jesus as He became sore amazed as He was anticipating the cup that the Father had given Him to drink. A cup of suffering. A cup of suffering because of sin, but not His own. Sin always brings suffering. Sin always brings pain. Sin is a great deceiver. Sin promises pleasure, but it delivers pain, doesn't it? Oh, there's the pleasures of sin for a season, but it's just for a season, and it delivers pain. Sin says you do this and you'll live. And what does sin deliver? It delivers death. It's a great deceiver. There's always a cup of suffering for sin. Always. So then it goes down a little further. She spent all that she had and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. I'd like to look at her concern. Her concern. You know, it's one thing to have a stomach ache, but when that develops and it gets worse and pretty soon you can't even sit up or you can't lay down and you should go to the doctor maybe. You're getting worse. And worse and worse. And this dear woman's concern was real. Her concern. She was absolutely determined. She wasn't just going to sit there until she dies. And she didn't just say, well, if God is going to heal me, He's going to heal me. But she went in for it, didn't she? She agonized. She suffered many things. She spent all that she had. She was nothing better, but she rather grew worse. And it's looking as to this woman, there is no hope. There is no more money. There are no more physicians. And I'm just getting worse. I thought of the concern of the Savior. You see, He was passing through this way. He knew this woman was here. And He wanted to heal her. And it was no coincidence that the Lord Jesus was right where she could access Him. It was no coincidence that her, the great physician, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one that could heal her, was within her grasp, was within the region, within her area. And it is no coincidence that the gospel comes to this place at this time. And Christ is preached and He's within reach. You see, this woman was just going to touch but His clothes. So Christ was concerned for her, and she was concerned for herself. And a seeking sinner and a seeking Savior soon meet. And so she goes, and it says this, when she heard of Jesus. I've heard men preach, people talk sometimes, and they say, why don't you give Jesus a try? I hate that. It isn't giving Jesus a try. When this woman heard of Jesus, she knew. It wasn't just another physician out of many. It wasn't just another shot in the dark. It wasn't just another hope-so situation. It wasn't maybe this man can heal me. But she knew. It said when she had heard of Jesus, when she knew, this is the one. This is Him. What did we read in Hebrews? He that comes to God must believe that He is, and He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. She knew in her soul that word heard could also could be understand. When she had understood of Jesus, maybe she had heard the message that He just healed a maniac on the other side of the lake. Maybe she had heard that He was going with Jairus to heal his child that was sick. But when she had heard of Jesus, she knew in her soul that this was the one. This was the one that was sent of God. This is the one that is God. This is the one that can deal with my issue. Friend, tonight, for the issue of sin, there is only one that can deal with that issue. There is only one that can cleanse the soul. There is only one that can heal the human heart. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're coming with an attitude that maybe He can, no, you need the attitude He will. They that come to God must believe that He is, and He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. How many people do you read in the Bible and they cry out for the Lord Jesus, and it's a cry out in doubt? No, it's a cry out in confidence. And here's this woman. Now, you keep in mind her condition. If those in that press, in that mob of people, in that throng of people would have recognized her, you see, she would have to bump shoulders with people to get to the Lord Jesus. She would have to make a determinate effort to get to Him. She couldn't just skirt around the edges of these people and wonder, what am I going to do? If I touch them, they'll be defiled. Or if I touch them, they might get this disease. She was only concerned with one person. She was concerned with herself. And I want to say this, when it comes to the salvation of your soul, my friend, you be greedy. You be greedy. Because it's your soul, and it's your eternity. And your friends can laugh you into hell, but they can't laugh you out. You see, if she would have let this throng get to her, get away from Him. Get away from us. You're unclean. You're not fit. And if she would have buckled to the pressure of the crowd that day, she might have stood away and watched her opportunity for salvation disappear down the street. But no, she was absolutely concerned. She was determined. It didn't matter what others said. But she's coming in now behind them. You know, it's easy to sneak up when people are walking in one direction. You can kind of get in through. If you're fighting the traffic, it's hard to get to Him. But I can see her there. She's sneaking down through there. And she had heard of Jesus, and she knew that He was the one. And so she's coming, and it says here, she said, she came in the press behind and touched His garment. Why? Because she said, if I may touch but His clothes, I shall be healed. She knew the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. She didn't doubt His power. She didn't doubt who He was. She didn't doubt anything about Him. She just knew that this was the one. This was the man. And so she comes and she touches the hem of His garment. She touched the hem of His garment. What does it say? And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up. Immediately, that means. Straightway means immediately. And she felt in her body that she was healed of the plague. So we looked at the condition of this woman. We've looked at the cup of suffering. We've looked at her concern. And now Christ. Christ. Here she comes. And she touches Him. She believed that He could do it. And she expressed her belief by coming to Him. And she touched Him. Now, where did the virtue come from? Where did the power come from? Did it come from her faith? Did it come from her faith that she was convinced that He could heal her? So did the power come from her faith? No. The virtue came from Him. The power came from Him. She exercised faith in that she came and that she knew that He could heal him. But the power came from Him to her. Isn't that the way it is with salvation? It isn't the faith that saves, it's Christ that saves. The power comes from Him to the sinner. Marvelous to think the virtue came out of him and she was healed and she knew it. She knew it. And who else knew it? He knew it. He knew it. You know, I was thinking about this woman, and I started to run through my mind of different people that were healed in the Gospels when the Lord dealt with them. And I'm not sure, and if someone knows, please fill me in, but this might be the only one that never confronted him face to face or talked with him. You'll think of the man, what wilt thou have me to do for you? Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. And they verbalized something, or they came to him and they asked him, but here's a woman. And she just came. And he knew that she was there. And he knew what she needed. And he took care of everything, for the virtue just came out of him. It's almost like the sense that he couldn't hold his own power. It's almost like the virtue had to come out of him. Had to come out of him. He couldn't tell her no. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. And she touches him, and the power goes, and she's healed, and she knows it. Some people say, how do you know when you're saved? You'll know it. You'll know it. And you know who else will know it? He'll know it. He'll know it. You see, this woman's confidence now. Was her confidence in herself, in her faith? No. Was it in her feelings? Well, she knew she was saved. But is that where her confidence lied? No, no. Her confidence lied in this, that when Jesus turned and looked to her, he knew it. He knew it. She knew that he knew, and he was the one that did it. And her confidence is all in him. Her confidence isn't in herself or in her prayer or anything that she has done. Sometimes I like to ask people, if you died tonight and you were standing at the gate of heaven and Peter was there, and it isn't like this, it's just a situation to get people to think, what would you tell him when he asked, why should we let you in? What would you tell him? Don't answer out loud, but just think about it. If you were there at the gate and the gate was closed and Peter was behind the gate and he said, why should we let you in? What would you tell him? Would this woman tell him because I reached out and touched him? No. She'd say, he healed me. He healed me. He did the work. You see, there's only one answer to that question. And so many people will tell me this. Well, I think that you should. One man told me, I don't deserve to be there. And I said, Peter would say, you're right. You won't be in. One person told me, well, because I said a prayer, I should be let in. No, that's their works, not Christ's works. Some people say, well, I'm a good member of my church. That has nothing to do with it. You see, this woman's confidence, this woman's healing came from Christ. It came from him. And she was resting in the fact that he was the one that did the work, because she believed that he could do it and he would do it. And so she went, but it was him that the power came from. There was no power in her whatsoever. She only grew worse. Until that day. Until that day. Then what happened? Did she gradually grow better? No. She was healed instantly. It says the fountain was dried up. The fountain of her blood was dried up. And she felt in her body that she was healed. Then what does it say? Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, he turned about to the press and said, who touched my clothes? I can just see the disciples here. There's a mob of people. You've been at a parade, or you've been at a school function or any function where there's a mob of people. People are bumping into you all the time. It's just the way it is. And here's the Lord Jesus going down the street, and the people are bumping into him and all this, and people are touching him, and maybe they're putting their hands on his shoulder, or maybe they're patting him on the back, or maybe they're grabbing him by the hand, or maybe they're doing this. And the disciple says, Lord, you're in a throng of people and you wonder who touched you. Did you ever wonder why all those other people that touched him didn't get anything? They never had a need. They could have been forgiven of their sin. They could have been healed of whatever need that they had. But it was the one that had the need that got the blessing. Do you have a need tonight? Oh, there's many people thronging around the Lord Jesus. There's many people saying, Lord, Lord, this and Lord, Lord, that. But it's the sinner with the true need that gets the virtue. Marvelous, isn't it? And so he turns around. Now, this is confession. This is confession. And he looked around about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. Isn't that Romans 10 and 9? Romans 10 and 9 in the flesh, right here. She believed in her heart. She confessed what was done. And you know she received a blessing? She didn't receive the blessing of salvation because she confessed what was done. She was already healed. But she confessed and she got joy in her soul. And she brought glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. And she told what had happened in her experience. I was a dying woman. I came here, I had tried everything else. But I had heard of Jesus and I knew He could save me. And I came. And my disease is gone. I am healed. What a little picture of salvation, isn't it? Marvelous to think of this dear woman. Let me ask you tonight. You've got a condition of sin. How bad is it? Well, it's not that bad, you say. My dear friend, tonight you die in the condition you are, you'll be in hell. Now let me ask you the same question. You have a condition of sin, how bad is it? Oh, it's not that bad. My friend, one sin will take you to this place, just one. You have a condition of sin, how bad is it? This dear woman was absolutely concerned. Concerned about her eternal destiny. Are you concerned? Christ is concerned for you. Come to Him tonight and be saved. Let's pray. Father, we bow in Thy presence again. We give thanks for these examples and these illustrations that are given to us in Thy Word of men and women that were healed, men and women that were saved, men and women that were forgiven. And our Father, we're thankful that we can appreciate the work of the Lord Jesus Christ tonight, that there at Calvary, He drained that cup of suffering. He drained that cup of wrath. And all the judgment that our sin deserves was laid upon Him, for sin was upon Him. And our Father, we just give Thee thanks tonight, and we would pray for a night of salvation, and we leave it with Thee. And we just ask that the Lord Jesus would be glorified, not only through the preaching of the gospel, but through sinners coming to Him for salvation. We leave it with Thee now, giving thanks in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. 253. 253, great God of wonders, all Thy ways, display Thine attributes divine.